this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This week, I'm super excited for the Relationship Week. Anybody else? Two or three people. Hopefully by the end of the week, the rest of you will be. It's good to have Yaku and Erika here as well. Yaku, who was a speaker at many of our previous Relationship Weeks, and if I knew he was here tonight, he'd be speaking tonight. He's a pastor at Tigerberg now. Slack on your leash out there, Yaku and Erika. Any kiddies sitting at the back? And just to give you a little bit of a plan for the week, what we're going to do this week is, tonight I'm going to be speaking on, as you said, on Daring to Hope. I'll speak a little bit more about that. Tomorrow night, Pastor Anton is coming from Standerton, and he's going to be ministering tomorrow evening in building the IT building on campus, room 227. I've got no idea where that is myself. I've never been there, but it can't be that hard to find, I'm sure. We'll email a map through to everyone tomorrow morning as well. Then on Tuesday evening, Yaneta is going to speak about what a girl wants. To the guys, about what the ladies are looking for. And ladies, it's important that you there as well to know what should you be looking for in a godly man. What are the things that the Bible holds before us that you as, we as guys should be? And what are the things that a woman wants in a guy? And ladies, importantly, what should you be looking for? And then similarly, the flip side of that, on Wednesday night, I'm going to be speaking on what a guy wants. And there, obviously, guys and ladies, it's important that you're all there. Thursday, we're going to be speaking on just pure sexuality and have some time for questions and answers. So every evening, we'll have a box there. And if you've got any specific questions, anonymous or otherwise, about relationships, you can just pop it into the box there. And we'll try and address as many of those questions as we possibly can on Thursday evening. And then this coming Sunday, in other words, next week this time, Pastor Marion Rankin, who's a pastor of quite a large church in Witrifier, she'll be here and she's going to be ministering on the big question, how do I know this one is the one or is not the one? Is this the one? That's going to be an exciting week. What I also just want to say is that obviously there are many questions that we have about relationships and there's no ways we can cover all of them in just a couple of sessions. I really do want to encourage you from tomorrow night onwards, we're going to have the series of the previous year's sessions available. And I want to encourage you, please get those series. There were some great sessions there. Yaku did a great session a couple of years ago just on God's plan, God's blueprint. And I remember last year, Hanif did a great one just on being friends, just buddies. Because relationships, normally we think in terms of guy-girl kind of romantic relationships. But it's so important that we learn to have just good, solid friendship relationships, whether they be with other guys or other girls, whatever it may be. Hanif had a great session on that last year. I think 2 years ago, there's another session that I really want to encourage all of you to get. I spoke on two halves don't make a whole. And we're not going to be able to cover that again this year, but it's so important for us to know that by the time we go into a relationship, we must have come to a place of wholeness in Christ ourselves. And I speak just a little bit around that, and I've actually just come back from honeymoon when we did that session. So very excited about just what God was doing and is still doing in my life at the time. I really want to encourage you. So from tomorrow evening, we'll have those MP3 CDs available for all of you to get. I've got some stats here on marriages. Obviously, the majority of these statistics are American-based, but I think they're not too far away from where we are. Who here is married already? Okay, a handful of you. We're going to be speaking to you as well. And tonight, we're going to be praying for some people at the end of the service specifically. Because I know, and as we're going to look through these statistics, we're going to see that the world around us wants to steal our hope and steal and take away the promise that God has for us. And this evening we're going to be speaking into that and praying for some of us who aren't married yet. But at the same time, I want to encourage those of us who are married, allow the Holy Spirit to stir hope in us again. To stir and awaken anew that flame of love and of the purpose that He has for us. Who's in a relationship? Quite a number of you. Any engaged people? Peter Inkate. We're just single people. Okay, all the single ladies, stand up so the guys can see you. No, I'm joking. Maybe next week we'll like have a parade across the stage or something. We get married between the ages of 20 and 25 end in divorce. 50% of all marriages in which the bride is 25 or older result in failed marriages. In South Africa, that figure, we don't have that broken down as much as about just over 50% of marriages end in divorce, as opposed to the other end of marriage is obviously death of one of the partners. 65% of altar-bound men, in other words, men who are on the way to get married, and women live together before getting married. Research indicates that people who live together prior to getting married are up to 50% more likely to have marriages that end in divorce. Children of divorce have a higher risk of divorce when they marry, and an even higher risk if the person they marry comes from a divorced home. One study found that when the wife alone had experienced a parental divorce, her odds of divorce increased to 59%. When both spouses experienced parental divorce, the odds of divorce nearly tripled. Half of all American children will witness the breakup of a parent's marriage. Of these, close to half of those again will also see the breakup of a parent's second marriage. Before we just look at the implication of that, some of us might say, you know, but what about me? My parents are divorced, or I've been divorced, or I've been through a rocky time in my marriage. The great news, as we're going to see towards the end of tonight, is that there is hope. Those who don't know, my parents are divorced, so on one of the statistics we're going to look at now, it's not to bring condemnation, it's not to bring judgment, but I think it's important that we look at the reality of the situation which we face. It's important at the beginning of this week that we ask ourselves, why are we doing what we are doing? Last year when we were in the Aula, we had the Aula pretty full every evening. Unfortunately, this year we can't have it because there's so much of a question about how do I do this marriage thing? How do I do this relationship thing the right way? I don't know about you. I'm yet to meet a couple who stands at the altar thinking, this is going to fail anyway. The couple who, when they get married, plan to not make it. Every couple, doesn't matter what situation they're in or they have found themselves in, inside their heart, they're saying to themselves and they're saying to each other, somehow we are going to make this work. Nobody else in the world is getting this right, but we are. And a healthy, godly relationship is a foreign concept to the world. When I speak to my worldly friends, they can't understand or fathom the fact that Janetta is still the only person I've been intimate with. It's completely foreign to their mindset, to a worldly mindset, to think that one guy and one girl can be together for life and only those two people. And in the church, kind of, it's obvious to us, but the reality is if we walk out of here and we go to our friends who are in class with us, our friends who work with us, our colleagues, our family, yes, they have these beautiful ideals, but the reality is for most of them, it's just an ideal. It'll never be a reality. And it's so great that you are here. It's so great for those of you who aren't married yet that you're taking the time out to invest into your future. Because it's exactly what it is. It's an investment. For those of you who are studying, you take 3 or 4 or 5 years to prepare yourself for a career one day. And then sometimes we come and we want to spend just in a marriage preparation course, just 2 or 3 months with people, one evening a week, preparing them for marriage. And it's asking too much. And then a simple question comes up, but how important is this to you? You're willing to spend hundreds of thousands of rands on getting a good education, making that work? But let's prioritize what's really important in life. I remember I was flying down to Cape Town one year and God just blessed me and happened to upgrade me to business class and I was sitting right in the front, sitting right next to quite a wealthy man. He's the MD of probably the biggest construction company in South Africa. Got into conversations with him, just chatting about the things of the Lord. He wasn't a believer. And I just popped one question to him. I said, you know, amongst everything you've ever done, my guess is the times that have meant the most to you have been those times when it's just been your family and you and your children together. Doesn't matter which country, which beach, all the world that you've traveled, just having the people close to you, close to you. And he looked at me and he says, you know, it's a good point. He's traveled the world, he's done everything, I mean, they have board meetings in Mauritius 4 times a year, so he gets to go there often. But he says the times that are most special to him are those times when the people who are most special to him were close to him. So I want to encourage you in this week, really make a point of attending as many sessions as you can. Get the CDs of the sessions you can't. Because having looked at the figures around divorce, what's the big deal? You know, we know Scripture says God hates divorce, but in the world, divorce is really commonplace. Why is it so bad? Studies in the early 1980s showed that children in repeat divorces earned lower grades and their peers rated them as less pleasant to be around. Teenagers in single-parent families and in blended families are 3 times more likely to need psychological help within a given year. Compared to children from homes disrupted by death, children from divorced homes have more psychological problems. And all of these statistics are sort of conclusions from journal, professional medical journals and sociological journals, studies. Children of divorce are at greater risk to experience injury, asthma, headaches, and speech defects than children whose parents have remained married. Following divorce, children are 50% more likely to develop health problems than two-parent families. Children living with biological parents are 20 to 35% more physically healthy than children from broken homes. A study of children 6 years after a parental marriage breakup revealed that even after all that time, these children tended to be lonely, unhappy, anxious, and insecure. 70% of long-term prison inmates grew up in broken homes. Children of divorce are 4 times more likely to report problems with peers and friends than children whose parents have kept their marriages intact. Children of divorce, particularly boys, tend to be more aggressive toward others than those children whose parents did not divorce. People who come from broken homes are almost twice as likely to attempt suicide than those who do not come from broken homes. Children of divorced parents are roughly 2 times more likely to drop out of high school than their peers who benefit from living with parents who did not divorce. When God says He hates divorce, there's a reason why He's serious about us coming together. And please, I want to say again, if your parents are divorced, or you come from, you've got a family, or brother, or sister, whatever, maybe you yourself, you've been through a divorce, this is not about condemnation. The great thing is, there is the grace to restore and to heal. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't anyway, do it, but especially if you come from a broken home, make a point of getting to the Legacy Seminar. It's a whole seminar just based around family values and bringing us to a place of wholeness again and restoration. Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, my parents got divorced just when I was about to leave home, but still many of these things manifest in my life. Many things that I constantly need to bring to God and trust Him to develop and to bring healing in my heart. So I want to encourage you, come around to the Legacy Seminar. If you haven't done it yet, but really it's going to change your life and going to bring so much healing in your heart. The question then is, if marriages are almost 50-50 doomed to failure, if the consequences of failure are so big, not just in my own life, I don't know if I put it in, I can't remember if it was too bad. There was one that I couldn't decide whether I wanted to put it in or not. But basically what it said is, can't remember if it's in here. There we go. Compared to children from homes disrupted by death, children from divorced homes have more psychological problems. In other words, a divorce in a family has a greater effect on the people in that family than death in the family. In other words, it's better psychologically, according to that medical study, for parents, for a child to lose a parent to death than to lose a parent to divorce. The scars are less deep, less harmful. You know, if the consequences are so bad to everyone involved, then why? Why should I, as a young person, recently married, still hope that mine's going to be different? Why should I still have the confidence that the day I stood at the altar, like every groom who gets married, said, somehow I'm going to make this work? For those of you sitting here and you've got hurts and pains and questions, maybe from your own broken families that you come from, you've seen the destruction in your life or in your friends' lives. Maybe your parents didn't get divorced, but your home was very dysfunctional. Maybe you've been in a relationship and it just didn't turn out good and there's hurt and there's scars that you're walking around with. Why should I still choose to hope Why should I still choose to dare to walk in faith and to trust God that He still has a plan for me? That He actually still wants to make this thing work? Isaiah 59, it's not up there. One of our favorite scriptures says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And I really believe that to be the truth in the Church of Christ today. It's so amazing to me that since I joined the church and been involved in the church, I've had the most incredible godly examples of marriages. Not perfect marriages. Not marriages where there aren't issues and there aren't problems. But marriages who deal with it in a godly way. Marriages who demonstrate the love that Christ has for His church. And it was just so incredible to me as a that stage, a young student, to be able to look up at these people and to see, wow, this can actually work. The kids are actually flourishing and growing. You know, it was such an incredible privilege just for me to, when we were in, before Rwanda, in Tanzania, we were there and the team from Cape Town joined us and Pastor Fred's son joined us on the mission. Marnus will have to forgive me for saying this, but anyway, Marnus walks up to Stefan. For those of you who seen Stefan, he looks a lot like Fred. And Marnus looks up to Stefan in his innocence and he says, do you know who you remind me of? Fred May. And Stefan is straight faced. Who's he? And Mark, come on, you're in his church. How can you not know who he is? Why do you say that? So the next day, we're in the bus and we're driving and Marnus says, don't you guys think Stefan looks like Fred? And everyone says, yeah, he looks just like his dad. So Marnus is all smiles and giggles after that for a couple of hours. Couldn't believe he missed it. But it was just so incredible to be there with Stefan to see the fruit of a godly marriage. To see the fruit of a marriage where a mother and a father had come together in the love of Christ. And a child is now in his early 20s, confident, self-assured, flourishing, gifted, but so humble at the same time, so willing to serve and to give and to learn. We're going to look at that a little bit later. But the examples that God is, the standard that He's raising up in church. So amazing to me when we were in Stellenbosch, and I was there with kind of just amongst our circle of friends in church. No one ever stood up from the pulpit and told us sort of where the lines of purity are in sexuality. But the common thing amongst us as friends were, you don't kiss a girl until you marry her. That was just the standard that we'd adopted in ourselves. No one ever told us that's the way it has to be. No one ever preached and said, you can't kiss a girl before you marry, etc., etc. It was just something that we decided, God, we want to do this right. The Spirit of God stirring in our hearts a desire for purity, a desire to raise up the standard, because the enemy is coming like a flood, and more than ever before, I'm still convinced that because of the degradation of society and just the way that families are going, a lot of people say today that the riots in England were family-based, or lack of family-based, rather. I still believe that one of our most effective evangelism and outreach tools should be our marriage preparation. Because every couple who gets engaged, if they know Jesus or not, they don't mind too much, but they want to make their marriage work. And if we alert and we are in our workplaces and we hear of people getting engaged and we invite them to come to the next cycle of marriage prep, we bring them to the way that Jesus would have it done, they're going to get saved. Their lives are going to be changed and transformed because of the holiness and the purity that God is bringing and the examples that He's bringing through church. So why should we hope? Why should we not go the way of the world? I've got four things here, just to stir our spirits. For those who aren't married yet, and for those of you who are married, just to remind us again of the glory of God within marriage. The first one is because it's very good. Genesis 1, 26 to 31 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the earth. You see, he's speaking in plural here. Man, he's not speaking about Adam, one person. He's speaking about plural. Let them have dominion over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Proverbs 5 verse 18 says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. I so love seeing people who have been married for a couple of years and see the love between them just growing. See the friendship they have. See the fact that they can rejoice and just have fun together. On an intimate level that they'll never experience with anybody else. And no one else can ever experience except in a marriage covenant. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor, obtains blessing, breakthroughs from the Lord. God smiles upon the guy who finds a wife. Last year I spoke about that to the guys, the art of the chase. Guys, you have to find her. She's not going to come running to you. You must go find her. Can all a single girl stand up again? Go find her. Get last year's session if you missed out how to do that. He who finds a wife, it's a good thing. God smiles upon it. And I remember Fred at one stage, I think it was in a relationship week, I can't remember. He spoke about the golden goose. You know the girl that you find? She's a goose. She's a golden goose. She brings the favor of God into your life. She is a channel through which God will cause blessing to come into your life. For her sake. And God will enable you and prosper you to look after her and to care for her. God will be a blessing to you so that you can be a blessing to her. Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous wife? There's a good question that we're asking in front. Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. One of the biggest lies that the world holds before us today is that being married for a man is the worst thing you can do. Because you're going to have this woman who's just going to be a drip all day long and she's going to claw and moan. And we laugh, but this is the image the world holds before us. I remember when I was a kid, we had this TV show, Love and Marriage. Anybody watch that? Al Bundy. This loser who just sat there all day on the couch and just completely stupid, brain dead guy. And it's a picture that the world holds. This is Love and Marriage. A loser guy sitting on a couch and the wife sleeping around and doing whatever because that's the way life is. That's the way love and marriage is. Still remember that stupid song as an intro and you guys are going to hate me for the rest of the week now. That one. Huh? They go together like a horse and carriage. The world holds before us that getting married is putting a millstone over your head. You know, we see it manifest in our bachelor party sometimes. You know, we say to the guy, it's the last night of fun you're going to have in your life, so you must go all out. Because from this day you're going to be chained. No, you're not. Scripture says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains favor from the Lord. Her worth is far above rubies. Your heart safely trusts her as a man. You will have no lack of gain if you're a guy. She does you good and not evil all the days of your life. A virtuous wife. Just important. A virtuous wife. Not just any wife. A godly wife. A woman who fears the Lord. We'll speak about that during the week. For those of you, maybe you're thinking a little bit, but you know, I've missed it. I'm too old. I've really got a desire to get married and I've wanted to have this hope, but too much. Put this next slide in here specifically for you. It's not a biblical slide as such, but it's just the age, the maiden age of bachelors and spinsters. In other words, first marriage at the time of marriage in South Africa, 2004 to 2018. You'll see the guy's age stayed pretty constant. The median age for men to get married in South Africa is 32. In other words, for those of you who don't have a statistical background, 50% of people get married before 32 and 50% get married after 32. This is a halfway point. So of the people who get married in 2008, the median age was 32, and the people who got married in 2008, for the women, the median age was 29. In other words, that's the 50% mark. Some of you are thinking, oh, I'm 25 and I'm not married yet. I've missed it. No, you haven't by a long shot. As a matter of fact, all the statistics I read, and they show very clearly that a marriage between the age of 25 and 30, closer to 30, has got a far greater in the worldly eyes chance of success than an early 20s marriage. Obviously, in a biblical context and in a church context, we trust God that that won't be the case, because we come to a place of healing sooner and we've allowed Him to be Lord in our life. But those of you who think you've missed it, you know, if you're still younger than that, that means half the people who are going to get married this year are older than you. In other words, when you get to 32 as a guy and you're not married, you're average. That's normal. Obviously, in church, you've got people getting married really young. Ma'am, listen. And it works. Nothing wrong with it. But don't lose hope because you think you've missed the boat. Also, baie jare oor vir baie van julle. The second reason, apart from it being a good thing, because God planned it that way. Genesis 2. The Lord God, obviously Genesis 1 is an introduction, and for those of you who ever do Bible study, I really want to encourage you that any biblical theme, anything that's of any value in Scripture, will be found in Genesis. If you can't find it in Genesis, don't spend too much time around it. It's probably just some wayward thing that's going to confuse you. Everything of all value is found in the book of beginnings, which is what the book of Genesis is. So when we look at marriage, then relationships, Genesis is a good place to start. And Genesis 1 is just explains how God created it all. An introduction. And in Genesis 2, Moses goes back a little bit and he zooms in on how did God make Adam? How did God make Eve? And he says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Guys, if you're single, turn to your friend and say, or your friend's single, turn to them and say, it's not good. Huh? It's not good. Let me just interrupt myself here. Scripture's got a very clear place for celibacy. In other words, a man who chooses to live a life of not getting married by choice. And if God stirs and moves in your heart in that way for guy or lady, that's perfect and that's fine. That's not a problem at all. My heart is just that you don't come to that place because of fear or because of hurt. You don't make that decision or you feel God's doing it because you're afraid of getting married. If you've come to a place of wholeness in God, you've come to a place where He's restored you and made you whole, but yet somehow inside of you, He stirs a desire in you to be single, then we'll pray with you and we trust God for you to walk that way. But let's not let anybody be withheld from the blessing in marriage because of hurt and fear. Because of pain in the past or fear that it's going to happen to me too. So I just want to put that out there. Maybe you are here. The chances are, if that was you, you wouldn't be here tonight. If you're here and you've got a desire to be married, it's because you've got a desire to be married. In other words, God hasn't called you to celibacy. He hasn't called you to a place of abstinence and walking away from relationships. If you're here this evening, most probably not. It's not good. Turn to your friend again and say, it's not good. Any guys who agree with that? I think the guys who said where just now were saying, it's not good. It's not good that man should be alone. Have you guys got that yet? Any guy not got it yet? It's not good. The world wants to tell you it is good. Anybody ever picked up that message from a movie, from a book, from a worldly conversation? It is good to be single. In the same way, let me interrupt myself again. There is a season. There is a time and a season. I spoke about that in that session on two halves don't make a whole. There's a time and a place for us to get married. There's a time when God would have us be single because He's building into our hearts and He's establishing stuff in us, and that's fine. We're here talking about a lifetime commitment. Not a couple, 2 or 3 years, or 5 years, or 10 years. As I said just now, if you get married to a guy at 32, then you're the average. You're the median. If you get married at 29 for a girl, that's the median. You know, if you're 18 and someone tells you only get married at 29, that's a long way off and hard to bear. So Sean isn't that far behind average. He's almost on the curve. It's not good to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And Tuesday night and Wednesday night we're going to speak about that. And next Sunday Marion will speak about that. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept and he took one of his ribs and he closed up his flesh and his place in the rib which the Lord God had taken away from the man. Taken from the man, he made into a woman and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh." They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Last year, Anton spoke about being naked and unashamed. But God says that one of the things that a man will do in his natural capacity is he will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That's how God planned it. It's very good. He planned it. He purposed your and my life for us to walk together in covenant. The third reason why we should hold on to the hope that God wants to hold before us as believers. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, here we see this verse again, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The third reason is because God would have us demonstrate to the world how much he loves his church. Every Christian marriage, every husband and wife that walks together, in God's eyes, be a reflection of how much He loves His church. This is a bit of a revelation for some of us, but you don't get married for you. You don't get married for what you can get out of it. You get married to reflect to the world out there how much God loves His church. In the same way, you get married to reflect to the person how much God loves that person. In a marriage covenant, you've got that incredible opportunity and place in which to demonstrate love in a way that you won't have anywhere else. Not even a husband, I mean father, daughter, mother, daughter, whatever. There we can demonstrate and extend the Father's heart. But one of the great things about being married is somebody else demonstrates to you, despite all your flaws and your weaknesses and everything you mess up, how much God loves you despite all of that. And in the same way, you get to love someone else in that capacity. So Ephesians 5 is holding us before us here, saying, you can love in the way Christ loves. And you've got the unique opportunity to demonstrate to this person how much I love them. No one else can reflect the love that I have for this person as much as you as her husband or you as his wife can demonstrate. Love them in the way that Christ loves us. And when we love one another like that, the world sees how much Christ loves His church. The most powerful testimony we can ever live is the way we love our husbands or respect our husbands and love our wives to show the world. And then the fourth one is this one. Oh, godly offspring. Isn't she just the cutest? Right? Malachi 2. But did he not make, I know this is one of Yaku's favorite scriptures, did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? Because he seeks godly offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with a wife of his youth. Genesis 1:27. Anyone know what the first commandment is? The first commandment God ever gave man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. The privilege and the gift of having children is a gift God has given only to those in marriage. Every other place and is not an illegitimate children. You don't get anything like an illegitimate child, but you do get illegitimate parents. Parents who aren't qualified to be parents. Parents who love themselves more than they love their children, and they love the pleasure more than they love the fact that they want to have their child grow up in a godly environment. And that's something that we'll be speaking and continue speaking to those who are parents and developing courses and presenting courses of how do I be a godly parent? But you know the first place to be a godly parent? In covenant, in marriage. We saw just now the destruction that happens in children's lives when the covenant gets broken. How much more when there's no covenant to start with? But this evening, I'm wanting to hold before us this hope that God says, when it comes to marriages, the world is busy destroying them for the simple reason that God is so in them. The reason the world has got something, the enemy of our souls has got something so against marriages is because God is so for marriages. I so love seeing the young people get married. Every time someone gets engaged or wants to get engaged, they come and they speak to me and they say, oh, the money and the ring. And I said, you know, God will take care of that. And they say, yeah, I'm sure He will. And then stuff happens and then the wedding day comes and they get up to say their speech and they say, God took care of it. Philip told me, but it's just amazing how God provided. Those of you who aren't married yet, weddings aren't cheap. Not at all. Start saving. The ring isn't cheap either. Although you can, if you're clever, you can get a good deal. But the ring isn't cheap. The wedding isn't cheap. And there's no ways, take me as an example, that I would have been able to have the wedding I had without the abundance of favor of God. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The wedding wasn't cheap by any stretch of the imagination. But you know the amazing thing is, when Yanetta and I came back from our honeymoon, we had more material possessions and wealth and money in our bank account than when we started planning the wedding. It doesn't make sense, I know, but it's God's favor. I see Marcus smiling there. I'm sure he's got the same stories. Sophisa was the same at his wedding last week. He was just like, God just provided. It's just the money just came and God was in it. And God bless this thing. And that's the dream that I want to hold before you. We're going to pray for some of you just now. Because some of us here have lost hope. Some of us are sitting here and saying, yeah, it would be nice to be married, but I don't know if I can go through that. You know, the example that I've been set or the hurt that I've had myself, I don't know if I can. God wants to come and loose something in your heart to say, He knows the plans that He has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a hope and a future. If you're a husband, you know what God wants you to have? If you're a man, not a husband yet. If you're a husband, the same as well. God wants you to have a wife who is more precious than rubies in your eyes. Who does all the days of your life good and not evil. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and He adds no sorrow with it. Woman, if you're looking for a man, maybe you're married already, but you know what God wants? A husband for you. Who treasures and loves you as Christ loves the church. And I want to say to you today that it's possible. Martin says, Esau. Nah. You're like bias is your brew. That was one of the funniest moments I've ever had on missions. And the next day he goes up to him and he says, oh, he said, you're his son. And Stefan just laughs. But before we pray for some of you, for God just to bring restoration in your hearts and your spirits, I've asked some of the other married couples to come up and just to share a little bit about what the marriage, their marriage has meant to them. Where they were, where they are now. Because I think more than the scripture, as powerful as scripture is, it's just the example that we get from those around us who have walked this road. So I see Mezen's eager to come first. So Mezen, you can come to Salam.
Grace, God, unfailing favor and love and grace. Those statistics, I'm not supposed to be where I am, according to the world. And my father got married to a pregnant woman that he didn't, whatever, it wasn't his child. And then he had two other children. And then he got divorced. And then he married, then my mother became pregnant when she was in matric. And they got married. And they were on the brink of divorce, and then she got sick. She got leukemia, and she died at the age of 20. And I was 23 months old, so I never knew my mother. And then my father got another woman pregnant, and they got married. And they stayed married for 7 years, and they got divorced. And my father made another woman pregnant, and they got married. And my father saved, and his wife is saved. And all 7 of his children are saved. But in that, I don't have a foundation of a Christian marriage or of a successful marriage or of any biblical example or anything that I can stand here today and say that I have a successful marriage because of what I've done and because of what I've learned. And not at all. Hande and I have been married now for almost 6 years. We got to know the Lord before we got married, and God has just been so faithful in our marriage, and we're very blessed. And he's an amazing husband, and he loves me, and he loves God, and I love him, and I love God. And really, this, our marriage just testifies of God's goodness from our marriage, our wedding day, until our daughter, Alice, everything just testifies of God's goodness. And the only thing that I can say is that I agree that there is hope, because this is my example, and God's love and commitment towards us and towards our marriage, that's what makes our marriage successful. And I just want to read to you 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then just Romans 5 verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. And I can stand here and say that because of God's love towards us, an amazing 70 years, okay, we're still going to be married and have lots of children, and that are going to grow up and speak good things of God's name and really see His kingdom come. In Jesus' name.
Seems like the women will speak on behalf of the men tonight. I'm married to Christy. We're almost married for 7 years now. And I don't have amazing story. I have a legacy of a loving parents that serve the Lord. And even through that, I met Christy when we were in first year in Marty's and at Stellenbosch, and we dated for 4 years, and after we studied for 4 years, we got married. The typical perfect life. We're in Shofar from first year, did foundations together. The typical amazing relationship probably everyone wants. But in that, I just have to testify that it's not us. We could have done so many things wrong. And we really just, like Mason said, it's grace, but it's also wisdom. The Lord really imparted so much wisdom to us. And there's just one thing I want to testify tonight, and that is that if you wait sexually, if you wait up to the point where God leads you to wait, well, definitely not over the line, but wherever the line is that the Holy Spirit draws for you, the reward is very big. The reward is so big, and it's a thin line that runs through your marriage, and it's that thin line that is also Jesus Christ, but it's also that faithfulness before you get married that is the fruit in your marriage, and that is why your marriage will last.
Thanks. It's all the woman tonight.
Hi, my name is Wilma. We beat Esther by 5 years. We're going for 11 years now. I'm always the one that thinks I think I don't have a testimony. I don't have a bad and then a good. But funny enough, this morning in the shower, I thought of this, and I just want to glorify God. Also, Dion and I never dated before we met each other. I was 23, I think, when I met him. And his mother actually, she prompted him from school that he should date. So I just praise the Lord that he didn't. It's nice to, I think when we want to date, then after a few nights he, wanted to give me a good night kiss, and I didn't even know how to kiss. So I asked my friend, but it was, that was awesome. So now I just know he taught me and I taught him all the things we know. that's very nice, not to worry. So sometimes he jokes and he will tell me that the guy who taught me to kiss did well, did a good job. I don't know all of your stories. I haven't even heard the whole sermon tonight, but if there are students here, I just want to confirm what Esther is saying. There's a blessing in that. I think it's with all the laws of God. He puts it there for your own safety and your own benefit. His grace is sufficient to cover all of those things you did that you shouldn't have done. But it's first prize to do the things his way. I just want to say it's good to wait on for the Lord, and there's, like I said, there's no guilt and there's no bandages or whatever afterwards. So, yeah.
Thanks so much.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks, guys. Just two notes for the men, and Philip has mentioned it in his sermon, that I've observed in many other married men's lives, as well as in my life, and that is, number one, the favor of God. Remember when I met Madeleine, immediately stuff started happening. I've seen it in other married men. They meet the right lady, they commit, and the favor just starts flowing. So really count on that. God is not mocked. He's serious about his favor when a man commits to a godly wife. Amen. And Philip quoted scripture that points us to that. And then secondly, I don't have scripture for it yet, but I've also observed it in my life and almost any and every other married man's life. And that is that when they meet the right lady and both of them know that this is it, everything starts happening. That usually in those months leading up to the marriage or leading up to the commitment, there's usually a turbulent time before you commit. Like I said, it's just an observation, so I just want to put it out there. And once one of my friends called me and he said, listen, I don't know what's happening, but it's almost like all hell is breaking loose. And I asked him, do you know that this is your wife? He said, yes. I could testify to that. And in that telephone call, I almost I think God just gave me a revelation of what is actually happening. And it's when God brings that righteousness into your life, first of all, Satan doesn't want it. Okay? So expect that Satan will come against that relationship. So don't become all flaky when there's turbulent times. Okay? This is a spiritual thing as well. So Satan is not happy with that relationship and he will try and come against it. Okay, number one. Number two is that when righteousness enters our lives, it's like a magnifying glass and it will cause impurities to boil over. So many times you see this godly lady coming into your life and suddenly you feel like the biggest sinner on this earth. And that is good. That's God's, one of God's processes of cleansing you. Like I said, I don't have the scriptures yet, but I know Philip, and I see some other married men smiling, will testify about the same thing. This lady comes into your life, and suddenly there's just movement in your spirit, and you feel like something is coming against you, and something is happening in you, but then stand firm on the knowledge that this is of God. But that's when, only after you know that this is the woman of God, get men to pray with you, fast if you need to fast, but know that the favor of God will follow your life. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Nick. Darnay wil ook 'n eiertjie lê.
Okay, hi. If it's not Mezen that cries, it's me, so if I cry, it's just Iris. I kind of have a same story as Mezen. Not exactly the same, but I also kind of, according to the stats, which I do know, because I went through many of those things before God saved me, wasn't meant to stay in there. But one thing that I just want to encourage the girls to do is go to the session where Yaneta is going to speak about what a girl wants, almost more than the guys, because out of my life, one thing that I can testify of was I didn't know what I was looking for, and I didn't know what I was supposed to be looking for. I didn't have an example. I was born out of wedlock, and I had a single mom, and when she got married, she wasn't happy, and it was abusive. So I really had nothing to stand on, and my picture was kind of the Al Bundy thing. That was like what I had. So, but when God comes, He restores and He heals, and He gives back so much more. I got married on 22, and I was so scared to get married. I thought I never would have, and God saved me 3 years before, and I know I married the man that God had for me, because I see it every day more and more and more. And I just want to encourage you to make sure that you're looking for the right thing, because without us knowing it, we girls especially, we're seeking for things, and I promise you God is going to give you everything that you want, but He knows what you want more than you know what you want, and He knows what you need more than you do. So I can tell my whole story, but I think everyone has said enough. I just really want to encourage you for that Tuesday night session. Trust God to come and release in your heart what it is that He made you to be as a wife. Because the moment I started gearing my focus towards what I must become instead of what I'm looking for, God changed my eyes. And when I looked again, I was like, oh, I've known this guy for 6 years, and maybe he's my husband. But I never would have seen it if God didn't hit me a few times. And and the marriages in Shofar is really such a blessing to see. Just the people, if you want to listen to people, you can listen to these people. They know what they're talking about. I think it wasn't Philip and Mezen. Philip and Mezen, I spoke to them like 6 times before I got married. And I knew, but God just had to speak through them again and again and again and again. And I promise you, if you hold on to God and not unto your own ideas, He will answer you. God answered me through natural things, through spiritual things, through many other things. And He's not going to speak to everyone in the same way. But if you hold on to me, it's going to speak to you in a way that you understand him. So, yeah.
Thank you, Darnay.
So, this evening I really want us to pray for some people. And if you're here and you recognize in your heart a fear of relationship, a fear of commitment, there, guys. Yeah. A fear of, but why should I be different? Or in the same way, a flip side of that is just a lack of hope, a lack of dreaming. Maybe you've even, you know, compromised on what you know is right, and you just feel so guilty and you want God to come and restore. So our heart this evening really is for every one of you to have everything that God has planned for you in your relationships, in your marriages, and in all of your relationships that would flow from that. Not to settle for second best, not to give up because you're 28 and now you just happen to pick the first guy who comes along because, you know, there's no one left. Now the other stat, ladies, is it means when you're 32, half the guys are still left. When the guys are 32, half of them are still left, you know. Only half are gone. Was a buyout one. And this evening we really want to pray for you. So if we could all stand together. And I'm going to pray a blanket prayer for us. But then specifically, if you feel any of these elements registering in your heart, and you want someone just to pray with you, I really believe that God wants to come and loose something in our hearts, to come and stir hope, then as the others leave, please come forward and we're going to pray with you. We're going to trust God to do a miracle and a work of healing in your heart. Doesn't matter what your background, doesn't matter what experiences you have had. I know that God has got the most awesome marriage, better than you could ever hope or dream, He has in store for you. So Father, I want to thank you for this evening, this afternoon. I want to thank you for every person who's here, God, who took the time to be here. God, thank you for those who are already married and examples they are. Lord, I pray that they would continue to demonstrate to the world your love for your church, God. Lord, they would grow in love for one another. They would grow in intimacy and understanding, Lord God. God, that you would just continue to pour out your favor and your blessing upon those covenants, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those who are engaged and in relationships, Lord, that you would lead them in the way that you have prepared, God. And Lord, for those who are single, God, that they would seek your face, Lord, that they would know where you are leading them, God, that they would embrace the season where they are at, Lord God, that they would know, Lord, that there is a time and a season for everything under the sun. Lord, they would rest in your faithfulness, in your leading, and the work of your hands in their lives, God. And Lord, for those who are hurting, those who've got ungodly perceptions about marriage, God, those who have lost hope, or have never had hope, God, I pray that right now, God, you begin to fan those seeds of hope in them. That throughout this week, God, you do a miracle of restoration of your plan and your purpose for every one of them. In Jesus' name. So we're going to sing one last song. And as we sing that, you're welcome to leave if you need to go. Thank you so much for being here. Remember, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night we'll be in the IT building. And Thursday night we'll be at the Sunland Auditorium on campus. Next Sunday we're back here at normal times. If you're visiting, there's coffee and tea. Please feel free to join us for that. But most importantly, if you need someone to pray with you, please come forward as we sing this song. God bless you. Have an awesome week.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You're living.